Well, those of you present here can see that you need to open your Bibles to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 10. Those of you who are joining us electronically, we want to encourage you to do the same. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. We're going to be going through the chapter and talking about Paul's lesson on hearing. Good to see those that are with us today. I am slightly concerned with the news that Lanissa is taking Lexi. You didn't give me any heads up on that. Okay, all right. I mean, I need to find a replacement for somebody to tease. So if you have any suggestions, let me know. I mean, that's just part of my nature, and Lexley has been a really good spirit about that. We hope you have safe travels, and you'll be in good hands, Lexi. That's great. It's interesting when we take a look at not only Romans chapter 10, but other passages as well. There are certain passages that we like to quote. And you know the one in Romans chapter 10. Romans 10, 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. John 3, 16, God so loved the world. We have certain passages that we quote. Sometimes we may call them our favorite passages. But we often don't look beyond that text itself. Yes, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, but it's interesting that that verse falls in a whole lesson that Paul's been given on hearing. And we don't often look at that. And that's what I want us to do this morning. There are a lot of passages like that, that we, if we looked at the broader context of it, we would see even a greater flavor as to why it is we quote Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing. Who is he talking to? Interestingly enough, when Paul was making that statement, it was in a context, it wasn't unbelievers out there. It's true that if a person who's never heard about God, he's not going to believe in God and hasn't heard about his son, he's not going to believe in unless they hear. But Paul is talking about the Jews of his day. He had been, and I'm talking about those who were Jewish religiously, he had been such. And in the first part of the chapter, he talks about the fact that he hasn't ceased to love his Jewish brethren. In fact, he says that he prays for them that they might be saved, verse 1. And he said, they have a zeal, but their zeal for God is not according to knowledge. And because they try to establish their own righteousness, in other words, their own standard, it's the person who says, now look, you know, I know the preacher says this or the Bible says that, but I just think God, I'm going to go to heaven because God, you know, I'm a good person. You know, the Jews were seeking to establish their own righteousness. And because of that, he said, they didn't submit themselves to the righteousness of God, verse 3. Because even though they were going to continue to keep the law of Moses, he says in verse 4, the purpose of the law was to bring us to Christ. The end or the end goal of the law unto righteousness was found in Christ. And so his message begins, as he begins to talk about the situation of hearing. The problem was that these Jews, they're not listening to what God says. And if ever there's a lesson for those of us who are present today, it's that here we are as Christians, and yet sometimes we do not subject ourselves to the righteousness of God because we're not listening. Paul has 4 points that he is going to make about listening. And he makes a interesting statement. Who shall ascend into heaven? Who shall go into the abyss? What was that all about? What did that have to do with hearing? Well, we'll take a look at that as we begin in verse 6. In verse 6 he says, but the righteousness which is of faith. In other words, being right before God, which is of faith in Jesus Christ, says what? What does that say? Well, he says, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down. Or who shall descend into the abyss? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what saith it? It says, the word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. What is Paul saying there? Well, first of all, he is saying that when it comes to hearing, it's easy for everybody to do. He says, you can't make this again. I would hear what God said, but who's going to go up to heaven and bring Christ down here to tell us what God wants us to do? Or, and he's not denying the resurrection, he's, you know, the exact opposite. Has Christ been crucified? Well, if he's been crucified, who's going to go down into the grave and pull him back up and say, tell us what God wants us to do? And of course, the answer is, nobody can do that, so we just can't know. Oh, yes, you can. Because that word is close. In your mouth, in your heart, it's the word of faith which we preach. The question is, are you hearing it? Are you listening? Do you really want to know? What you find is that it's not hard for God to tell us what he wants, and it's not hard for us to know what he wants us to do. God never wanted to make it hard for us. And that's the point. It never has been. What happens here is that Paul takes an Old Testament passage, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 10 through 14. He takes that passage, he makes a little twist to it, and basically says, there's been a problem for a long, long time with folks. And the problem isn't the access to truth. The problem is, will we hear it? Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 3. Here, Moses is about ready to pass on from this life. He is telling the people, you need to follow what God has said. You need to obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes that are written in the book of the law. When you turn to the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, he says, for this commandment which I command you today, that is to obey the voice of the Lord, this commandment which I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. Nothing that God has asked us to do is too hard or too far out there. There's just no way we can figure it out. It's not far off. It's not something you have to go to theology school for. It's not something that you have to have a pastor or a reverend study this stuff for years and years and years and then come and tell us what to do. Or as one sister in Christ said, you know, I just wish the preachers would get together in a room somewhere and figure this stuff out and tell us what to believe. No, no, no. It never has been too hard or too far from you. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it down to us that we may hear it and do it? Sounds kind of like, yeah, that's where Paul gets this from. Or who, he said, neither is it, verse 13, beyond the sea, that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth, in your heart, so that you can do it. Kind of sounds like a commercial today, doesn't it? Nike, just do it. Yeah. It's not that you can't do it. You can do it. It is near. Now, notice, back in those days, back in Moses' day, they had boats and so forth. But crossing the Mediterranean Sea, that was almost impossible. The boats end up sinking. Seafaring wasn't as easy as it was still bad during Paul's day. He was involved in some shipwrecks, but it was a lot better in Paul's day. So Paul's not going to say, who will cross over to the sea? Because some say, well, you know, the Phoenicians will. They're pretty good, you know, at it. And they were. No. So Paul just uses a different illustration. You're going to go down the grave and bring Christ up? Paul is making a point that it's no different in Moses' day. It's no different than it is today. It's not that the word out there is just too hard to understand, as our brother prayed. It's not too hard to understand. It was preached by the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ, of course, is the key, is the cornerstone. The Hebrew writer reminds us that it was recorded and confirmed by the Holy Spirit through signs, wonders, and miracles. The question is that the Hebrew writer was saying, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which was first spoken by the Lord and later confirmed unto us by them that heard? Who heard? The apostles and the prophets. Who heard those things? And it was confirmed unto us by the Holy Spirit working these miracles in their lives. The question, even that the Hebrew writer was saying, do you think you're going to escape the judgment day if you neglect this? If you're not listening? Because it's here. It's been there a long time. Whether the Old Testament or the New, the question is, it was not hard to know what God wants us to do. It was a matter of whether we would listen. Will we hear, or will we, like we just got through studying, Rick just got through teaching us in Acts chapter 17, that after Peter preached to them, the Bible says they stopped their ears and rushed on him one accord, and they stoned him to death. They didn't want to hear it. But then how many times have we heard that? I don't want to hear it. Don't you tell me, blah, 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 blah. That's just another way of saying, my ears are closed. So Paul goes on. And Paul says that our hearing must be coupled not just with believing it, but also with saying the same thing, with confession. And so he says, because what? He says, well, this word of faith we preach. Because if you confess with your mouth, Jesus as Lord, and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. It's not a matter of just accepting some facts. You believe it with your, in your heart. Verse 11, for the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same is Lord of all, and is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, who is the Lord? Well, he just said at the very first verse, up there at the top, verse 9, if thou wilt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord. He is Lord. Look at verse 12. He is Lord of all. There's no Lord for this group of folks or for that religion over there. There's no other way for men to be saved than through the name of Jesus. God wants us all, and there will be salvation in just one way. Jesus was to be Lord of the Jew. Jesus was to be Lord of the Gentile. You can't have all of these different groups with their different saviors, and yet you'll find even politicians today think that they're doing God a service in the Bible. Look, there's all these different roads that lead to heaven. That's not what the Bible teaches. They're not listening to what God is saying. Because the scripture says, whosoever shall believe on him shall not be put to shame. Everyone else will be. So it has to be coupled with belief and confession. And by the way, what is confession? We know that prefix C-O-N means with. And we talk about fessing up. It means to speak. It means to speak the same thing. In other words, God says something, you've got to say the same thing. And say it genuinely, sincerely, with your heart. God says, this is my beloved Son. You say, Jesus is the Son of God. God says, this is sinful. You say it's sinful. God says, you must repent. You say you must repent. God says, whatever Jesus says, we've got to say the same thing. So what does that mean in this context of hearing? You hear what God says and you go, that's right. That's right, and I'm going to do it. Oftentimes we think confession is just saying some words. But that's not what Paul's talking about here. Now he does say, you do it with your mouth, and we'll see here, there's a reason for that. You see, just going to church isn't what's going to save us. We're going to, you know, people will talk about the fact, well, so-and-so, they went to church all the time. What do they mean by that? They mean that they went and they heard the truth, and that's good. But just hearing the truth isn't going to make you a righteous person. Is it going to bring you salvation? It has to be coupled with belief and confession. It doesn't mean it's coupled with I believe that's true, and I'll stand up for the right. I believe Jesus Christ is Lord. We must do that, but we must do that from the heart, meaning Jesus is my master. That's what the word Lord means. A lot of people think if I just go to church, it'll save me. That's not the kind of hearing that Paul's talking about here. Paul is saying, you've got to hear. It's easy for everybody to hear. It's not hard to hear, but the hearing must be coupled with faith and confession. Saying, that's right, that's what I'm going to do. It doesn't make a person good unless he believes. And the belief has to be, verse 10, from the heart. It has to be genuine. If you believe something, you act on it. If you believe that there's a particular way in which you ought to spend your money, you actually spend your money that way. If you believe you're wasting your time doing something, you stop doing it if you believe it. And so the belief must be genuine. And then you have to be willing to take a stand. That's why he said, with the mouth, confession is made. There's no such thing as a secret Christian. That means when you're asked, yeah, I believe Jesus is Lord of all. And yes, everyone must come to know him, must come to believe on him, and obey him. That's what Paul was saying in Acts chapter 17, there were times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Why? He says, inasmuch as he's appointed a day in which he's going to judge the world in righteousness by the one whom he hath ordained, and that he has raised him from the dead. Some people will ask, well, who's going to judge us in the judgment day? God's going to judge us with Jesus standing right there. Through him. That's why you can't say, well, there's this religion over here. They don't believe Jesus Christ is God's Son, but they believe in God. Well, doesn't matter. He's going to judge us by the one whom he's ordained, and that he raised him from the dead. You don't believe that, you're not going to be saved. There's no salvation. He is Lord of all. But we can't cower. Like Paul told Timothy, God didn't give us a spirit of fearfulness, but a power, love, and discipline, one translation says. Another says self-control. And he goes on later to say, you know, that he wasn't ashamed either of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. It's not something we're ashamed about. We can't be and go to heaven. I was talking to a dear brother and that I've known for many years, and we had a long conversation a couple of nights ago. And he made the statement, and I've heard it from other Christians as well. He says, Steve, he says, you just got to understand. He says, I don't like confrontation. And I said, I understand. When I was a kid in high school, I didn't like confrontation. And I had an older brother. He didn't have any problem with confrontation. I'd go sit in the corner and just as soon be ignored. He was outgoing, and that's good. But guess what? God has told me and you and every Christian, we don't have the luxury of sitting back and go, well, I leave that for others. I don't like confrontation. God didn't give us a spirit. One translation says of timidity. That's what he means by fearfulness. We don't have the luxury of being timid. But power from God's word, love, we speak truth in love, and then self-control, meaning you control the fear. You push yourself out there and you say something. And what's bad is that many times those who say, I don't like confrontation, when someone else does stand up, then all of a sudden we accuse them of being, you know, well, it's got to be his way or her way or da-da-da-da-da. Well, you tell us what way it ought to be and give us the scripture. You defeat the error. You expose the error. You expose the bad attitude. We can't sit back. You've got to do it with your mouth. That's what he meant by that. You've got to take a stand for the Lord. There are not many ways to be saved. There's not many lords. There's only one. And that's what he meant when he said, he is Lord of all. So all better confess him as Lord. Jesus is Lord of all. You don't want to believe it. You don't want to confess it. You won't be saved. Because he is what he is. His nature is not going to change based upon your reaction or my reaction to him. It's me that I better be concerned about. If I'm going to go to heaven, it's going to be because I believe and agree, confess. Thirdly, hearing is what gospel preaching is all about. Notice what he says in verses 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? You can't call on the Lord for salvation if you don't believe. And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? That's true. Someone's never heard the gospel, they're not going to believe it. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Someone proclaiming that gospel. That's the point. How shall they preach except they be sent? He's talking about the apostles as they were commissioned to go forth. Even as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings, or gospel, some translations say, that's the word of good things. That's what the preacher is supposed to be doing, though. Many times people fail at hearing what God wants them to do because the preacher is not preaching the whole counsel of God. And yet, they're still praised by certain audiences who love to have it so. Paul told Timothy that there were those who had itching ears, and they would heap unto themselves, not just occasionally, heap unto themselves, teachers after their own lust. That is, teachers who will teach it and preach it like I want to hear it. And that's where the hearing fails. It fails because the preacher won't preach what he ought to. But in this case, the gospel had gone out. But the problem is, they're not listening to it. But But they did not all hearken to the glad tidings. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? Which is another way of saying, you got to go back 700 years. 700 years ago, there were people who weren't listening to God back then. Now, it's interesting. Notice what he says. There are people today who would say, well, I just don't know what God wants me to do today. He said, yeah, back in Moses' day, they were saying that too. But no. God delivered what he wanted, and you can do it. Now, Paul says, same way today. You don't have to go up there, get Christ, come down. It's already been delivered. You can do it if you want to. Well, even when it's preached, 700 years ago in Isaiah's day, there were people, God's people, who wouldn't listen to it. So it is going to be today. Even when the preacher preaches what God wants, the question is, will you listen? Will you believe it? Gospel preaching. Some preachers have really moved on from preaching. They'll tell their stories. And I've told you this before, I won't go through it, but you know, about the he literally preached 30 minutes. Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's what we need. 30 minutes, sir. He preached 30 minutes. Literally 20 minutes were telling a story. The 10 minutes were the application. Having a story, an illustration, I do it all the time. But people need to walk out knowing that God's word has been explained to them. It's okay to have some humor now and then, but if the only thing you remember is the joke, then the preaching hadn't been done. Notice what Paul told Timothy as a preacher. He says, if you put the brethren in mind of these, he listed things. He said, now, teach those things to the brethren. If you do that, you'll be a good minister of Christ Jesus. A good minister puts people in mind of what Jesus has said. Notice, nourished in the words of faith. The words of the faith. That's what brings nourishment. And of the good doctrine or teaching which you have followed. You set forth God's doctrine. You set forth the words of the faith. You can have an illustration. Jesus did. That's what some of the parables were. Consider the lilies of the field. But he didn't take 20 minutes explaining lilies in the field. Illustrations are fine. But keep in mind, folks, illustrations only illustrate. They don't prove a thing. They do not prove a thing. The only thing that proves something to be truth or to be error is God's word. Illustrations just illustrate. But many times people will set forth, a preacher will set forth an illustration and you go, well, what he said had to be true. Did you remember that illustration? Well, doesn't prove a thing. He may be speaking truth, but he didn't back it up with the word. Timothy, you nourish people in the words of the faith. Later he says, I charge you in the sight of God. How can this, Paul, these aren't suggestions for preaching. Paul says, I charge you in the sight of God, preach the word. In fact, he goes on to say, who's going to judge? He'll judge you, Timothy, as a preacher. He will judge you. So you preach the word and you be urgent in season and out of season. You reprove, you rebuke, you exhort. You do this with all long-suffering and teaching, not joke-telling. Why? Because the time's going to come when people will not endure sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is the same. If I can get this up, there you go. Come back here. I want to get it where we can see it here. Notice he uses the term good doctrine and then sound doctrine. That's the good doctrine. The sound doctrine. But they don't want that anymore. They'll have itching ears, and so they will heap unto themselves teachers after their own lusts. And they'll turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside unto fables. That's why you get stuff being preached that's not in the Bible. because people aren't being trained to eat what's in the Bible. Faith comes by hearing. Belief comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? The Word of Christ. Preach the Word. Yes, God's Word was written to be understood. Our brother prayed that. Paul said in Ephesians 3, he said he was talking about the mystery of the gospel. He says, which I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may perceive. Or some versions say, you may understand. That's why Paul wrote to be understood, not to be misunderstood. The ungodly and immoral people at Corinth. And that their immorality is listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. And you read those, all of those sinful things, and those people weren't going to inherit. But they obeyed the gospel, and so they were sanctified. They were justified by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many at the church at Corinth had been very ungodly. They had been very immoral people. But they listened to the preaching. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 8, they listened to the preaching. And the Bible says many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. Yes, that's why, you know, the Jew isn't going to have any excuse saying, well, you know, who's going to, you talk about this Christ, well, can somebody go up to heaven and bring him back down? These Corinthians had been idolaters, but they heard, some of them, they believed, they were baptized, and they were on their way to heaven. But, you know, some of those guys were really immoral. They had been. But the gospel can take care of that. At Ephesus, later in Acts chapter 19, the Bible says in Acts 19 and verse 5, and when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They heard, they believed, and by the way, they confessed. They agreed that you had to be baptized into Jesus Christ. That's why they did it. They had been baptized with John's baptism. But Peter and John said, you have to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for remission of your sins. Okay, we agree. We're going to say the same thing. That's what confess means, to say the same. Peter and John, you're apostles of the Lord. You say this is what has to be done. We're going to do it. But it started with them hearing, the kind of hearing that engenders faith. Cornelius, the same way. Cornelius said, I'm here with all of my house. We're all gathered here together to hear all things commanded. All things of thee commanded by God. We want to hear everything God commands us to do. Is it any surprise that Cornelius and his household then believed and were baptized when they were commanded to be baptized? They did. What's the problem? Well, the fifth point that Paul makes here is that when it comes to hearing, that's really not the problem. The real problem is they just don't want to do it. Notice what he says. Verse 18. But I say, did they not hear? Yea, verily, their word, meaning the word of those preaching the gospel, went out into all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. But if you go back to Isaiah's day, you remember Isaiah who said, Lord, you know, we sent out your report, but nobody is believing it. Did not Israel? I say, did Israel not know first? Moses says, I will provoke to jealousy that which is no nation. With a nation void of understanding, I will anger you. God predicted the fact that the gospel would go out there to the Gentiles, as we've already just given one example, and that was going to anger the Jews who wouldn't accept it. When these Gentiles accepted the gospel, it made the Jews jealous. That's why Paul, you know, he's going, he's preaching, the Gentiles are listening, some Jews are listening, and those who didn't got angry and chased him all the way to Jerusalem, saw to it that he's put in prison, lied about him. They were provoked to anger because they didn't want to hear. And there's a great lesson for that today. You'll see those in the Lord's church sometimes getting real angry because they'll see some people accepting what God's word has said. They don't want to accept it, and it makes them mad. Nothing's changed. And verse 20, Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found of them that sought me not. He's talking about Gentiles. Gentiles who weren't out looking for God end up hearing about God and obeying. And I became manifest unto them that ask not of me, but as to Israel. Israel, who knew me, you would think they would say, tell us what God wants. No. As to Israel, he says, all the day long I spread out my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. They heard it. They just didn't want to do it. And then began, as one translation says, being contrary. What was the problem? They just didn't hear? Nope. They heard. You mean they didn't know? They didn't understand? Nope. Even Gentiles could understand when they were preached to. Cornelius did. He was a Gentile. Why did he understand it? His whole household too. Why did they understand it? Why did they obey the gospel? And many Jews of the day not. It's all because when it comes to hearing, it's a matter of, do we want to do what is right? See, the Gentiles were able to find God. That's the point of verse 20. They were able to find him. But you have to want to. And if you have a want to, you'll find it. The Jew, though, who knew the source of knowledge, he knew the prophecies, ignored the fulfillment of them. Why? Because he didn't want to do it. And then they began to gainsay. The old King James, American Standard, uses the word gainsaying. Newer translations use the word contrary. I think the NIV says obstinate people. The word there literally means to speak against. That's what it means. In fact, that's just the old English, a gainsaying, so it became gainsaying. Against sayer. They begin to speak against what they heard. Well, Paul wasn't talking about history. He was writing to those at Rome who had obeyed the gospel. And was explaining a greater problem that is an eternal problem of people hearing what God wants them to do. God has revealed it. It's not hard. It's not hard to understand. But we have to not only agree with it, we've got to do it. And it's always been that case. So it's not surprising that Jesus on many occasions said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. If we have the ability to know what God has said, and all who are joining us today have that, then let's do it. And the blessings of that is salvation. If you're here this morning, you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're God's child, and you're looking to go to heaven, looking to have that eternal home, understand that we too have responsibilities. God is calling on us every day to be doing things that will be part of our salvation. And if we hear those things and just ignore them, and we don't do those things, then we too put ourselves in jeopardy of our eternal life, of not having that eternal life. Let him who has ears to hear let him hear. Great admonition of the Lord. It's our admonition to you today. If you have a spiritual need that we could aid you with, we encourage you to let us know what it is as we stand and sing.